He's the smooth bass singer for one of America's top gospel quartets. Today, we've got historian Eric Bennett, one-on-one.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I love this guy's voice, and I love the cornerstone, the foundation sound he gives to one of these top groups in gospel music that we know and love as Triumphant. But today I want to get to know a little bit better Eric Bennett one-on-one. So Eric, it's good to talk to you. You're eating at a Cracker Barrel right now, am I right?
Yeah, man, I am. Matter of fact, I got a biscuit and jelly right now in my hand.
Well, what is
I love your voice, man. I love your voice.
Well,
I think you got a great voice.
Well, you're very kind. What does a professional top of the game bass singer eat for lunch at Cracker Barrel when he's got to sing later tonight?
Well, the good thing is, actually, I'm leaving to go on a cruise, yeah. So we're not singing tonight.
I gotcha. All right.
So when you're not singing, you eat everything that you is in sight, basically.
I gotcha.
And and when I am singing, I still eat everything that's in sight. So it really doesn't matter. I just eat it all.
Now, I don't know if it's different for tenor singers than bass singers, but David Phelps told me a couple weeks ago that the worst thing he ever did was eat a big Mexican meal before he had to sing. He said, never again.
Chips and salsa will wear me out. It really does.
Wow. Okay.
It messes my throat over for some reason. But no, I eat fish, pinto beans, and turnip greens. I know that's crazy, but I was raised on a farm, and so I love all the vegetables.
Well, let's go back there. So in the beginning, there was a little baby named Eric. And so where were you born and where'd you grow up?
Born in Hartsell, Alabama. And I grew up in a little town called Cullman, Alabama. Was raised by a wonderful Christian mom and dad that loved the Lord and took me to church every time the doors were open. And had a great family life. I have great brothers and sisters and just a great background with a family thing.
And so how did you get interested in music? Was that something at an early age, or was it anything like, were you learning to play or sing, or were you just listening to music?
Man, my mother used to go to all these local quartet and group nights, back when they had the all-night singings and whatnot. Used to go hear a group called the King's Messengers out of Hartsell. Just fell in love with it, man. And then my brother started a little family group with him and a couple of my cousins. And then he brought home a CD of the Kingsmen. And, man, I just fell head over heels in love with Ray Dean Reese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole Kingsmen group and whatnot. And so then it kind of went from there, branched out to Gold City, loved them. Then branched out, heard George Yontz with the Cathedrals. And thought he was the greatest thing ever, him and his voice just captured me. And, that's kind of what started. And then I got in, I started singing with my little family group there. My brother let me start singing and kind of taught me how to sing bass and, stay on the part, not sing lead, just a low lead. And so, then I went with the FFA quartet, sung with them for a couple of years while I was in high school. So that's kind of where it all started.
There's a long black train coming down the line, feeding off the souls that are lost and the crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Now you can look the heavens, you can look to the sky. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there's peace the same. Burn in your ticket for that long black train. But
Don't you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Ride is worth the pain. He's just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But you know there's victory, victory in the Lord, I say.
Of this, I mean, you guys, it's a rock solid lineup in Triumphant, and you guys have been together for over 10 years, right?
Yes, sir. Almost 12.
Wow.
I pastored a church for 2 years when I was 23 to about 25. And then Steve French out of the Kingdom Airs called me, and I came up and sung with the Kingdom Airs for 11 years. Uh-huh. And then started this group with the rest of the guys back in 2000, late 2002, I think it was. Got a great bunch of guys, man, that I'm traveling with. Easy to travel with, easy to talk to. We're sitting, you know, at a Cracker Barrel eating together, you know, and we're not at separate tables. You know, we're all at the same table and stuff like that. So it's a neat experience.
You know, there's something, I don't know what this is, but you know, you think of music and the music industry, and you've got Nashville is obviously a major hub for music. In gospel music, you've got a lot that comes out of Nashville naturally. But then you've also got like some key areas around the country, like maybe Memphis would be on the map. Maybe Atlanta would be on the map. Carolina has produced a lot of gospel singers. And then you've got Eastern Tennessee, which is where you've talked about being based out of for, gosh, what, 20, going on 25 years, if my math is correct, between the Kingdom Airs and Triumphant and that whole Eastern Tennessee thing. There's so many groups based out of there, too.
Yeah, there really is. You know, you got the Tallies, and you've got, Chuck Wagon Gangs out of there. You got the Greater Visions, you know, based out of there. So you still got several groups that are based out of that area. And I think the reason people are based out of Nashville and, you know, even East Tennessee is because it's just so easy, you know, to go either way, you know, whether you're going north or whether you're going south.
Yeah.
You know, I know the Booth Brothers, you know, used to live in Florida, and now they've moved up to the Nashville area.
Right.
You know, because it's just, when you're driving out of Florida, going anywhere, you go, you know, you got a long ways to go. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh, so, right, exactly.
It's a good central location.
I know you love where you live now, but if it were no option, if all of a sudden there was a mandate and Triumphant Quartet was going to have to uproot your families and you were going to have to relocate, where would you hope you would have to relocate? Is there a key city or a part of the country you would love to live?
Probably just cause of the weather, man. I've been to San Diego a few times, and it's amazing out there. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I want to get in the middle of the rat race, but just the weather-wise, it's amazing out there. I like about 75, 80 degrees year round would be pretty awesome. What do you think?
I like that idea. I've been there too. It's a good place. It sure is.
I don't like the cold. I don't like the real hot. So I think it'd work.
I love to call on Jesus' name because he's been so good to me.
He said he would
take care of me.
I know that
he has set me free.
And that is why.
That is why I love to call his name.
Oh, yes.
I know it won't be in vain.
And that's why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why I love to call his name.
He said he would
take care of me.
There's a man
that he has set me free.
And that is why.
That is why I love to call his name.
Oh, yeah.
I know it won't be in vain.
And that's why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why I love to call his name.
And oh, the Lord, it moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. You know, it plants his footsteps upon the sea, and it rides on every storm. And that's enough, and that's why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why.
I love to call.
I love to call.
I love to call
on Jesus' name.
Because
he's been so good to me.
He said he would.
He said he would take care of me.
But there's a man
that he has set me free.
That is why.
That is why I love to call his name.
Oh, yeah.
I know it won't be in vain.
And that's why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why.
Name has been my way now.
That's why I love to call
my sword
name.
And my battleship.
That's why I love to call
he's
his name.
Been my rock by rocking a weary land.
That's why I love to call
yes,
his name.
Been my shepherd.
That's why I love to call his name.
I love to walk,
sing,
shout.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why I love to call.
Set me free, and that is why.
That is why I love to call his name.
Oh, yeah.
I know it won't be in vain.
And that's why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why I love to call his name.
He's been my way down.
That's why I love to call
my
his name.
My sword and my battleship.
That's why I love to call
he's
his name.
He's been my rock,
that's why I love to call
rock
his
in
name.
A weary land.
That's why I love to call
so
his name.
He's been my way down.
That's why I love to call
my
his name.
My sword and my battleship.
That's why I love to call his name.
My rock, my rock in a weary land.
That's why I love to call his name.
My shepherd.
That's why I love to call his name.
In times of storm.
That's why I love to call his name.
That's why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why I love to call his name.
That's why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why.
That is why.
That's why I love to call his name.
That is why I love to call his name.
With us, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, of course, super bass singer in gospel music and long tenure now with Triumphant Quartet. Eric, what other talents do you bring to the group other than singing? Do you write much? Do you manage? Do you drive the bus sometimes?
Well, it's funny you say that because I've been driving for about the last 5 hours and fixing to get back under the wheel and drive a little more probably. But yeah. I do drive. I do manage the group, which I don't really know what that means, but I basically tell them when we're going to leave and that type of thing. But this is a pretty easy bunch to manage, man. It really is. They just all just fall in there and do what their, you know, roles are or whatever. And then As far as me, I like to lead a Bible study. We have Bible study on the bus, usually once a weekend or so. I like to lead that. But that's, I don't know. We all try to bring a little bit to the group and, just hope for the best. I don't really have any real talent. So I...
Let it go and lay it down.
Be the master's invitation.
Leave it there and turn around.
He will give you consolation.
Cast your care upon the Lord.
He'll be there when others fail you.
Where peace and comfort can be found.
When the cares of life assail you.
God is speaking to your soul.
God is speaking to your soul.
Don't let your troubles keep you bound. He'll be with you till the end. He's still where he's always been. Let it go and lay it down.
Let it go and lay it down.
When you think you can't go on, you've cried a river of despair. There's still hope when hope is gone. It's as close as your next prayer. Just let it go and lay it down.
Heed the master's invitation.
Leave it there and turn around.
He will give you consolation.
Cast your care upon the Lord.
He'll be there when others fail you.
Where peace and comfort can be found.
When the cares of life assail you.
God is speaking to your soul.
God is speaking to your soul.
Don't let your troubles keep you bound. The sun would never shine. You took your burden to the Lord, and He came through every time. Let it go and lay it down. He'll be with you till the end. He's still where he's always been. Let it go and lay it down.
Let it go and lay it down.
You gotta lay it down.
Guys, we like to show off our power tools and things. If we were to come to your house, Eric, and there's no right or wrong answer here. When something breaks, are you the kind of guy that your wife says, "Hey, honey, this is broken. I need you to help me," or is she like, "Hey, are you any good at Googling or looking through a phone book to find a handyman?"
No, I'm the one that fixes stuff. Yeah, I grew up on a farm, and my dad taught me to do pretty much everything. And so I can, I'm what they call a jack of all trades, master of none.
Uh-huh.
Do a little bit of everything, and really don't know a whole lot about anything. But that's kind of where I'm at. I can get us by until, the real guy shows up, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same way on the bus, too. If the bus is messed up, I'm usually the guy that, gets out and, let's see what's going on with that, and so... Yeah, and funny you bring up power tools. I love to work, you know, build decks or redo houses. You know, we've bought houses and redone them and nice. Ourselves and stuff like that. So that's a release for me to some sure. degree.
And does your wife enjoy that kind of stuff too?
Not so much. Not so much. She lets me do that, and that's fine with me. My wife, she works, still works, so I really try my best to pamper her yeah. when she's not on her 8 hours or 9 hours or whatever it is. She works 4 days a week, and that's my other thing is I try to take care of her because she's a super, super lady.
Yeah, I was going to say there's the often used quote about behind a good quartet man is a strong woman, and it really is. I think Brian Free and Bill Shivers of Assurance, they've said, you know, it's not just a guy who gets called to sing in a quartet. If he's married, his wife also has to be called. Do you believe that's true?
I totally agree with that because you see so many people struggle. They yeah. sometimes they'll, you know, go from group to group, and a lot of that is just because there, I think, is pressure at home, that type thing. But, man, the group of wives that we have in this group is wonderful. I mean, they're flying down tonight to go on the cruise with us. They're the biggest supporters that we have. My wife has never told me, you know, honey, you know, I really hate for you to leave this week or whatever. I think she does, but she never really puts that pressure on me of, you know, needing to stay home with her, that type thing.
Sure.
And, so yeah, definitely both of you, I think, have to be called into to the ministry of this if you're going to be successful.
Yeah. And you have kids, right?
I do, man. Mine are, if you looked at my hair lately, it's gray. And so my kids are, I'm 48. My kids are grown and both gone. My oldest is a girl. She's married to a youth pastor. Uh-huh. They have my first little grandbaby, which is the most amazing thing ever. I highly recommend having a grandbaby if you don't have one, Daniel.
Okay, yeah, I don't. But that's a good idea.
Yeah, as soon as possible.
Okay.
And then my son is about 3 years younger than my daughter. He's about 23, and he is a worship pastor at a church. So they're both turned out to be incredible kids. God has just, I mean, really just blessed me with a great son-in-law. They're godly kids, and I can't explain, you know, I just feel so blessed because of the kids I have and whatnot. So.
We will remember the hour, we will remember the day, when we witnessed unbelievable favor, when we were granted inconceivable grace.
Turn up the fire.
After we had said we'll never bow down, what they saw when the flames grew higher,
we'll forever be the talk of the town.
So take it from me,
Meshach, my friend Shadrach, and our friend Abednego.
So take it from me,
Meshach, my friend Shadrach, and our friend Abednego. There's not a fiery furnace where the Lord himself will not go.
So take it from me,
Meshach, my friend Shadrach, and our friend Abednego.
Triumphant Quartet with Eric Bennett, and we're one-on-one with Eric today. You're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends, and thinking about your, you know, even your kids, when they have to explain or when they had to explain to their friends what their dad did for a living, did they have like a one-word answer, or was it always a thing where they had to say, okay, well, let me do a little bit of explaining. This is what my dad does, and this is what it means, and this is how it works out on a week-to-week basis. How did they ever, like, really, truly try to explain what you are and do?
You know what? When they were younger, I was at Dollywood or I was at the theater, and I was very, very active in my kids' life. You know, they were either cheerleading or, you know, playing baseball. My son played baseball, football, basketball. You know, my little girl, she, you know, cheered or played basketball or softball. So I was usually coaching or something because I, you know, was afforded that time and was available. And so pretty much every parent and every kid knew what I did. So I don't really know, really, you know, of course we went to a big church and still do. We go to First Baptist Sevierville. So you know, all their friends and a lot of their friends and their parents, and pretty much it's just a big community of everybody that knew kind of what everybody did, you know, that type of thing. So I really don't know what they ever had to explain, but I don't know if they ever really had to explain anything. I guess they just assumed that all their friends knew kind of what I did.
Well, what about explaining on your part? Did your kids think back to when they were little and went out in public with your children, maybe to a stranger they say or ask something a little unusual? Did you ever try to help explain or steer? Did you ever think of a scenario like that where they said something that was a little socially off because they were just so young and didn't understand? You know, kids can be brutally honest.
Well, you know, they can be. And to be honest with you, I can't remember anything off the top of my head. I know they've said some things that are like, wow, yeah, I probably should try to straighten it out.
Were you the kind of parent that just kind of, you know, gave the other person a wink, shrugged your shoulders and said, yeah, they're a kid, they said it, you know, or did you backpedal and try to like get out of the scenario?
You know what, Daniel, be honest with you, man, my kids were very respectful. They were very sweet, and they didn't do a whole lot of, you know, just rambling or whatever, you know, and I didn't really have to go behind them and fix a whole lot of stuff, you know, and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm sure there were times when I would wink and go on with it, but I didn't really have a whole lot of experience of having to run behind them and fix what they've got us into. You know?
Got it. In the project part of your job, where you have to sit down with the guys and you start looking for songs, and then you go to the studio and you start recording the songs and then making a wonderful record, how much of that process do you have versus, you know, letting somebody like Jeff Stice, who I'm sure brings in a great arranging and musical mindset to it? How do you balance out those roles and provide input?
Well, here's the thing. We all get approached, because we've all been in this music for so long, we all get approached on, hey, man, I've got some songs here I'd like to send you. And that's by all different writers everywhere. You know, a lot of people will, you know, have a kind of a connection with Scotty because he's a writer, so they'll send him songs. A lot of people, of course, have that same connection with Jeff because he's a musician, so they'll send him the songs. Some people will send me the songs because, you know, I'm the talker or whatever. And some people will send David the song. You know, it's just whoever gets the songs. But we try to, when we do a project, we usually bring our own, we listen to a bunch of songs till we find the one that we think fits us or our situation. You know, if a song ministers to Jeff, it may not hit me this, you know.
Yeah.
If I feel that a song hits me, then I should probably be able to convey that better than anybody else. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I know we all try to pick songs that we feel like we can present our own way. And if you're going to take, and of course, Jeff is really good at bringing the songs that, you know, maybe the fun songs, and him and Scotty both are really, they think about that stuff all the time. You know, they're thinking about music, and they're both really good at keeping an eye out on for, you know, for the little quartet tunes and little things like that that, you know, every quartet needs. But we all have a somewhat of a hand in, you know, bringing together a project.
Okay.
And then Jeff kind of takes it after we get the you know, songs picked out. Jeff will kind of take it then and you know, go the direction that he feels, you know, is in our best interest.
When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright golden avenues, as you behold all the splendor and the beauty, remember there's just one request I make of you. Look for me, for I will be there too.
peace a match to view. After you've been there 10,000 years, a million, or maybe two, look for me. As you go down your list of first, there's no question you'll want to see your loved ones waiting there for you. But away that you've shared your story with the last one that I wants to hear you tell just how that you made it through. So much to view.
After
you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two,
look for me,
for I will be there too.
Eric Bennett of Triumphant Quartet. You're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Eric, you told us earlier in the program, you brought it up, you said that you're a grandpa now, you're 48, and you mentioned your hair color. All right, that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, good, thanks.
Okay, here's the next question. If you woke up tomorrow and you had a case of amnesia and you did not have a mirror, you had no way of looking at yourself, at your reflection, how old would you feel?
You know, good question. You know, honestly, probably around 30. I really feel very young. I mean, I know when I look in a mirror, it definitely tells me otherwise. I try to go to the gym, work out, you know, try to run some, you know, just try to stay active, stay busy. So I still feel you know, young. I still feel like I can do things that, you know, I could do when I was younger, and try to stay somewhat in shape and, you know, try to eat right to some degree. So I would definitely probably go with around 30 years old. Now, it's according to what day it is,
yeah.
But most of the time, 30.
What do you have to say out of the songs that you've recorded in the past 12 years? What song for you, because you're a bass singer, and whether you're harmonizing with the guys or you're taking a lead part and actually being the main communicator of that song, out of all the songs in 12 years, what's probably your favorite to sing, either to communicate or just has some kind of a bass lick in there that you love the way it works?
Honestly, Daniel, probably one of my favorite all-time songs that I have the opportunity to sing is probably He Loves Me.
Yeah.
It's an old song, and I sing it probably once a weekend, maybe once every other weekend or something. But that song still ministers to people. And there's so many people that I think come to hear us and come to hear gospel music that don't feel loved for whatever reason. And just to assure them, man, that somebody loves you, somebody cares about you, somebody knows you and still loves you is, I think, one of the greatest encouragements that anybody can have. And so I definitely would say He Loves Me, probably the greatest song of my life, probably as far as anything I've ever sung, period.
Why did He go to Calvary? Why was His life's blood shed for me? Why did He suffer like no man has ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one.
He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me.
He loves me.
Eric Bennett of Triumphant Quartet. You're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Well, let me flip the question around then, and let's say, what is probably the best song that has encouraged you the most that you did not record? Maybe somebody else has recorded it, and it's a song that is your go-to song when you're down, you need the encouragement, you need an uplift. What song would that be, and what artist?
To be honest with you, I think probably Scotty recorded a song a few years ago called Somebody Died For Me.
Oh, yeah.
And it's people kind of think of it as a military song, but and it does give the, I guess the, starts off, you know, talking about a boy that gave his life for another boy, but in the military, you know, and but I will say that song probably speaks to me more than any other song, and encourages me because, you know, I know who I am, and for somebody to actually give their life for me just pretty much blows my mind. It's like a lot of things. It's the more you're around something, the more you get used to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll become less of a big deal. But sometimes I just stop and go, you know what? Man, he really died for me. I mean, he really gave his life. He really paid my sin debt. He really took the wrath of God and on his shoulders and for me. And so when I sit back and think about the awesomeness of that, it really just blows me away. That can kind of cheer you up when you think about what somebody has done for you that knew you, and yet the Bible says while we were sinners, he still died. That's probably the greatest song to me that I've ever heard or been a part of.
He was a troubled kid, in and out of jail. When his daddy said, this is the last time I'll pay bail. So he enlisted in the army, and they sent him to Iraq. He was a different man when he came back. Some people said the army must have whipped you into shape, but he said that's not the reason that I've changed. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way somebody died for me. Now they fold the flag and attach a silver star as the grieving mother leans against his arm. And he stands before the family and does his best to tell how he survived the night his best friend fell. No one who ever knew him was surprised he died that way. He always lived for Jesus. Save myself.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Eric Bennett of Triumphant Quartet. I don't know how big of a reader you are. Some people read one book a decade. Some read, you know, one a week. So this can be whatever book you want to. But what book have you read lately that you're still thinking back on? A book that you go back to? And obviously we would all say the Bible, but maybe a book outside the Bible that really affected your life. It's something you quote to people or you refer people. You know what? You need to read this book.
I love Max Lucado's writings, and I read quite a few of his books. But I'd say a book that has changed my life, and I've read it probably 3 to 4 times in the last 5 years or however long it's been since it came out, was Radical.
Oh, yeah.
If you've never read Radical, it will change your life. If you'll allow it to, it will change your life.
Yeah, that's good.
David Platt. Mm-hmm. And I think he's the one that wrote that.
Yeah.
And another book that's it's really good as well is a book called Crazy Love.
Yeah.
And that's Francis Chan. And I'm telling you, both of those books, well, I guess Radical because I read it first. But, man, it will just speak to you. And every time I read it, I get something different, something deeper out of it. And so I would definitely say Radical. And I would definitely say that anybody that is a book reader that's not read it needs to read it.
On the bus, and you got a lot of guys there, and if we were to climb on the bus after a couple of dates that already, you know, let's say you're out for a four-night tour, and let's say we come in at the end of night number two, you're headed to date number three of the week. The bus is starting to smell a little used after a couple of nights there. What's the worst thing one of your guys there could pull out of the refrigerator and heat up to eat? Is there something that somebody really loves to eat that the rest of the guys say, you can't do that on here? We can't get the windows down fast enough.
Man, I used to eat tuna. Man, and it stinks, you know, especially out of a can. I'm telling you, man, it's terrible. And even chicken out of a can stinks sometimes. So, and we all, you know, usually bring a little something on the bus to eat. But we've tried, you know, we've tried going with, you know, tuna and we're really okay with peanut butter and jelly.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a lot better than tuna or chicken out of a can. But that's the two that people's going like, wow, you have to eat and spray the bus down.
Exactly. Have you ever gotten sort of stranded because of weather or been someplace where you couldn't easily get the bus into a truck stop or a restaurant and you were just kind of stuck on the highway for a while?
You know what? We haven't. We're very fortunate to not have been there yet. We've been stranded a time or two, but it's always been, you know, somewhere where we were okay with, you know, where we were, or you know, we were able to get something to move on a little farther, or something. We've never really been, you know, snowed under or that type of thing either since sure. we've. And to be honest, a lot of it's because, man, we try to go south in the winter is just like the birds. Man, we try to go as far south as we can in the winter and as many times in the winter as we can. So that takes care of a lot of that. And fortunately, we've only had one or two dates that have been canceled since in our last 12 years.
Yeah.
So very blessed to be in that situation as well.
Then they placed him in a lowly grave. Surely they thought that this would be the end of this man.
But on that third and glorious day,
God came and rolled the stone away.
He rose from the dead because he loved me. Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love for mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am
minute of Triumphant Quartet. Now you guys are on top of your game. We've talked about that with the quartet, but you personally won an award this past year, a fan award that was a great honor. But at the same time, with all that's happened with Tracy Stuffel of the Perrys, you actually not only dedicated your award, but you literally gave him that award. And I want you to hear from Tracy's own words what that meant to him. I just talked to him before we went on, called you, Eric, and I want you to listen to what Tracy said.
Sure.
There was an amazing thing that happened at one of the award shows this year where Eric Bennett of Triumphant Quartet took home a bass singer award for favorite bass singer. And then he turned around and did something that left us all melted there, right there on the spot. He turned his award over and not only did it in honor of Tracy, but I think he literally gave you the award, didn't he, Tracy?
Yeah, he sure did.
How does that make you feel to know that?
Man, it makes me feel unbelievable. It's from the heart.
How long have you known Eric?
Oh, man. Before he went with Triumphant,
right.
He sang with a local group from Alabama. From Cumberland, Alabama. That was years ago, over 25 years. I knew him back then.
You weren't at the awards show, I don't think, were you?
No.
Okay, but then later, I saw a photograph where you and Eric were together and he had the opportunity to sit down with you, right?
Yeah, Jacksonville, Florida. I got to thank you properly, just the way that I wanted to do it. That's why I got to do it, and it made me feel a lot better.
Eric, how does that make you feel to hear Tracy talk about that experience?
Brings tears to my eyes, to be honest with you. That was that was one of those things that, honestly, Daniel, I didn't mean for it to get out. You know, it was after the awards program, and you have to be careful to do things like that because you don't want to. You don't want anybody to think that you're doing it for a show.
Right.
And so I sure didn't want to do it up in front of everybody. But God worked it out to where when we left the awards show, me and my wife were in the same van with Libby because I had thought about doing it then. And I thought, you know what, people would think I'm just, and I don't want that. So God worked it out where Libby and Jared were in the van with me and Dana on. I mean, there's so many vans coming and going, and they just happened to be on that van. And there I sat with my, you know, award, which was a great honor. It always is a great honor. They got off the van, and we got off the van. I grabbed Libby, and I said, "Hey, Libby, would you do me a favor? Would you take this to Tracy and just tell him I want him to have it? Tell him he's my favorite bass singer." And you know, and it was just a kind of a private moment, and she, which I understand why she did it, but she, you know, she then thanked me publicly, and it became, you know, a bigger thing. But that was really done from the heart because I love Tracy, and I really hate to see him, you know, going through this. And yeah, we've talked since then, and I've sent him a few videos. I'll do it from time to time, you know, of just. You know, what's going on with us and you know, just seeing how he's doing, and he'll send me a video every now and then. As a matter of fact, he sent me a video of you know, thanking me. But I've always thought a lot of Tracy and his, you know, his ministry, his stand, and him and Libby have always been very faithful and, you know, love what they do. And I just wanted to try to make his day, and it ended up making my day.
Mercy called me to this side, where the blood was then applied,
and forever I am clean.
Now I
are white as snow.
like you guys are a team out there, not only triumphant, I'm talking about the gospel music community. By and large, we're all serving the same King of Kings, and we're telling people about him in any way we can, whether it's on a cruise ship where people are planning a vacation around it, or you're going to a country church where somebody walks in and they don't know why they're there. They just are looking for an answer or hope in their lives. And I understand. Yeah. And that's why you get on the bus every week. And man, we just wanted to honor you and hear your story kind of one-on-one, getting to know Eric Bennett. So I appreciate the time you've given us today.
Hey, man, I'm honored that you thought of me. And I really appreciate what you do and your ministry. So thank you for taking what we do just a little farther. I appreciate it.
And at this time, I guess I can officially say we're finished with the recording now, and Eric can have his biscuit and jelly that we've kept him from for now about 40 minutes. So
I'm surprised you didn't hear that being demolished a while ago. I've already done away with it. And you probably did. So
You're a good man. Hey, triumphantquartet.com online. Eric Bennett, thanks for taking time for us, and you guys have a good day.
Blessings to you, my friend. See you.
Been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.